Okay, so we're not going yet. Try it again.
No.
It's not going. Hold on, folks, we're having a technical moment.
There we go. Just got the alert being live streamed.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, prior to roll call, I would like to remind everyone that this meeting is being recorded and being live streamed on YouTube. I'd also like to remind everyone this is my first meeting as chair, so please bear with me if I fumble some things. So if you see something that I need to say differently or whatever to keep the meeting going, please let me know. It won't hurt my feelings. Since this is a virtual meeting, it's easy to speak over one another, so please keep the informal chatting to a minimum and keep things moving smoothly. Irma, can you go ahead and do roll call?
Yes. Okay, John Foley?
I'm present.
Deb Benizier?
Benizer is here.
Benizer. Kat Pence?
Here.
Neil White?
Present.
Mike Morrow?
Present.
Arnold Verstoff?
Present.
And Lieutenant Nathan Edgecombe is absent today.
Okay. I'd like to start a meeting by welcoming our newest member, Arnold Verstoff,
okay.
Who has filled the, I believe, the Ward 2 position. Is that right?
I just didn't connect the first
time. Hey. Arnold, would you like to say a few words or introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to be here. I got a little briefing 2 weeks ago. Met John and Kat, and it was interesting. And I hope to learn a lot more tonight. It's my first time on a city advisory committee, but I am a board member of the Southeast Cessna Neighborhood Association. And I hope to be able to be a good liaison for the neighborhood and Ward 2 with this organization.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Has everyone received and reviewed the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any additions that were needed?
Madam Chair, I think the only one that I wanted to, I saw that there was a submission by Brett DeHart that I think everybody received.
Yes, and I'm going to put that in the public comments.
Okay.
Yep, that's been noted. If there's anything else, could someone move to approve the agenda as distributed?
I move to accept.
Second.
All right. Perfect. We need to do a roll call vote on that, don't we?
No.
Okay. Doug Brenizer?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Morrow?
Yes.
They're doing the roll call.
Arnold Verstoff?
Yes.
John Foley?
Yes.
Neil White?
Yes.
Kat Pence? Yes.
Sometimes.
Okay, has everyone received and reviewed the minutes from the April 20th meeting?
Yes.
It's for the vote.
Awesome. Any corrections? All right. Can someone move to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Perfect. Is there a second?
Second.
A second.
Perfect. Roll call vote. Doug?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Arnon?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Neil?
Yes.
And Kat, yes. Okay, so we did have some public comment that came in via email. I believe we all received the email from Brett DeHart, the president of Salem Aviation Fueling and the chair of the Flight Salem Steering Committee. It was sent as a public comment via email form to all of the commission members tonight. Did you all receive that?
I did.
Yes.
Anyone not? Okay, perfect. It was long, so I'd rather not read that aloud, but if I can, if we need to.
Kat, sorry, the only reason, I'm not sure about the protocol. I don't know how to deal with that because we've not had anything like that. So that was my question. What do we do about it? There's a motion, but I don't know that without somebody who's actually on the commission making the motion, I guess it doesn't happen. So that's why I asked about it.
It's a good question. I would assume that we could bring it up as a motion once we're talking about the action item that it's referring to. Is that allowed? John?
I think so. If we discuss it and come up with a motion, then it can be based off of what Brent suggested. I know John had a request as well in his meeting minutes, so I think that's up to us to decide what to do there.
So, Madam Chair, if I could, that is public comment. I know you received some other public comments, so those are all just public comments. They'll be entered into the record. They'll be attached to the minutes of the next meeting, so we'll have hard copies. But I know that you're planning to read some of the shorter ones aloud, but at this point, they are just public comment. What the commission chooses to do during the action item is the commission's business.
That makes sense to me. So we did receive Brent DeHart's email. We also received, I received personally 5 others, I believe, that they are shorter, so I'm just going to go ahead and read them aloud to bring them into the record. They're all regards to the commercial air service, that the action item that we're going to be discussing tonight. This one is from Ron Peters of Salem Aviation Fueling. Hello, Chairperson Pence. I want to express my strong support of having commercial air service in Salem. We have had strong interest from airlines and extensive interest from the community to having commercial air service come to Salem. I think the time is right, the interest is strong, and the economic benefits are huge to the city. I strongly urge you and the AAC to vote for commercial air service coming to Salem. This one is from Debbie Montgomery. I have owned a hangar in Salem and have been there for 18 years. When Delta came in years ago, my husband and I, even though it was more expensive, we still flew out to Salem, Oregon. Salem is the state capital, and there should be commercial planes going in and out. This one is from Ron Sturba. I am in on commercial air service to Salem. I sent an email to city council members indicating Salem needs commercial airlines here now. Frankly, I am scared to go to Portland in that crime wave hitting Portland this last year and catalytic converters stolen off automobiles in PDX's parking lot as reported by Portland TV station recently. Our McNary Airport needs to be a regional municipal airport for the Willamette Valley. Our Salem community is at a fast pace in development. Count me in on recruiting an airline. Last, I want to say, start financially low on the needs of airline requirements and then on what's needed to satisfy future needs of commercial airline service. My personal feelings of a one building fits all, Salem Terminal and FAA Tower sticking up 40 to 50 feet, an Oregon Department of Aviation all-in-one two-floor structure which can be expanded to several airline gates as service grows and all entities sharing the rent. Best regards. And that was Ron Sturba. This is from Tony Phillips. Would love to see commercial air service into Salem. Short and sweet. And this is Kim Elaine, I believe. Hi there. I'm an ex-SLE resident. Still own a house there. I fly into PDX every 3 to 4 months because service don't exist to say SLE. I'd sure like to beat the I-5 headache, Kim. So those are the public comments.
Okay.
Did anyone else receive any public comments? Okay, then we'll move on to the reports. Tower Chief report. It looks like Rob Broyhill is here today.
Ma'am, hello, good evening. Let's get this started. Yeah, okay. So looks like second quarter we did 11,463 operations. That's just shy of 1,200 from last year. We did 12,750-ish. The busiest day was 313 operations for the day, which is a pretty good day for us. Aircraft incidents, it was pretty light this quarter. We had one experimental velocity. It landed runway 34, blew a left rear tire. The aircraft did come to rest in the middle of the intersection 3134. So we did suspend operations for a bit. We were able to move the aircraft to the non-mill area, and there was no injuries and no aircraft damage reported. construction. Looks like John did a pretty thorough job in his written report. I would like just to bring up that taxiway Kilo on the diagram be renamed to Charlie, and then where Kilo is on Alpha, that'll be Alpha 2 here once we get completed. So Kilo will go away altogether. Tower visits, we've been getting quite a few requests for that. FA policy on COVID restrictions still there. So we just kind of revisited that, and the new variant, they're still challenged with having non-essential people in the facility. So we're still restricted for visitors. And that's kind of all I have tonight.
Thanks, Ron. Good to see your face.
Thank you.
Okay, we have the airport manager report. John, you sent over an awesome report, very extensive. Did you have one to say anything about that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think I have anything additional to add. I know it was a pretty robust report. There's a lot going on this year, so I wanted to kind of fill everybody in. But as always, I'm happy to take questions or maybe there's any clarification or anything. Yeah?
A question either between you or Rob, and that is the B-17, B-25 coming in August 23 to 28, I believe. Is that going to be after all of the airport improvements are completed?
That will be, yeah. So project related, the primary portion of the project, which is going on now, which is the taxiway rehabilitation, I believe is scheduled to be complete on August 6th. And then we'll be out on the runways for 3 days each. There'll be 3 days that each runway is closed. I'll send out a tenant notification here next week. But that's just to remove and replace, do some crack sealing, and then remove and replace all the old markings and surface painted old markings. So that's, I believe, August, help me, Rob, 3rd through 5th, I think, and then 8th through 10th, maybe, or something like that. So the entire project should be done no later than mid-August, and then the fly-ins after that.
Yeah, so August 10th is our last day scheduled.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else, any questions or anything about my report? For those of you that are fairly new, probably Mike and Arnold, I used to just do the verbal reports like Rob did, but they get fairly lengthy, and I don't like to just have you have to listen to me for 30 minutes, so I started doing them in writing. So and then that way I can kind of, I can write them as I go along, as I think of things, and as things change and progress. But always feel free to ask me if there's anything that's not on my report that you're curious about. I'm happy to update you on this too.
Yeah. This one's for Rob. What is the status of the new control tower? Ron Sturber brought that up, but that's got really nothing to do with the terminal combined tower, I presume.
Looks like, I think, John, we're site surveying by November.
So we actually have our first site selection meeting this morning with the FAA, and it was really just a get to know you meeting, kind of what the process is going forward. So for those of you that don't know, I'll just do a little bit of background. In the latest bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed by Congress earlier this year, there includes, I want to say it's $1 billion for tower replacements across the country. You have to meet certain criteria, but Salem is one of 32 control towers in the country that is slated for replacement. It's almost 50 years old. We meet the metropolitan statistical area criteria, number of operations, and all the other criteria. So we'll be getting a new air traffic control tower in the next couple of years. The first step is site selection. So they'll be coming out sometime probably around November, and by March they should have the site selected, at which point they can then start with the design of the environmental work and then the design. So. Sometime here in the next couple of years, we'll have a new tower. Rob will be in a new home. I understand it's going to be nicer and bigger and hopefully taller, maybe bigger in terms of square feet in the cab. We don't know where it'll be yet. And then presumably this one will come down at some point shortly thereafter. So it's going to be an exciting time. But you're correct. That has nothing to do with the terminal improvements or anything like that. I think that Ron's suggestion was that if we just built one big building, we could have Oregon Department of Aviation in our building. We could be in our building, and the tower could be part of the building, and we could have one big building. But That's not how the FAA is going to roll with the control tower. It's going to be a standalone feature. I think for Rob and his staff's benefit, it's likely to be contained inside the security points, which will be nice for them from the security aspect. And so there'll be some changes there. So more on that as we go along through the site selection survey process.
Okay,
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for John or Ron? Rob? All right.
I have one just in the sense that there was a lot of information in here on the commercial air service. I assume we can take those questions during our action item discussion?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so John, they're actually two separate documents, and I'm sorry, we sent them all in one big form. So my airport manager report ended, and then the commercial air service pages are meant to be to go with the action item itself. So I separated those out.
All right, well, let's move on to the action items. Our action item tonight is in regards to this commercial air service. Like John was just saying, he put together a letter that was included in your packet. Has everyone had a chance to read through that?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And we've already heard the public comment on this item. So we really need to look at our recommendation for City Council. Or what we want to suggest, or what we do with commercial air service moving forward at Salem. So, is there anyone who would like to start the discussion?
Well, the only thing I'd like to say is, of the options that exist, and this is without any dialogue, of the options that exist, the one from Brent DeHart makes the most sense to me personally. I mean, we signed. I don't remember the year, John. Foley or John Pascal will remember, but the Airport Advisory Commission already sent letters to the, or a letter, excuse me, to the City Council supporting commercial air service. That's been a while. I think we're on the books for supporting it. So anyway, that's my recommendation. I like the one from Brent as well as any.
And which one from Brent? He looks like he did.
All of the aspects, I mean, to me, all of those aspects make sense. I know we're not, to me, that's a pretty good, because if we don't do all of that, we're not going to be anywhere with the trying to attract commercial air service.
Okay.
That's my nickel's worth.
Awesome.
If I could chime in or we speak. So, I mean, John, I appreciate the report. It's a really large report. There's a lot of information in there. To me, the key things that I see in what you've proposed or what you've submitted, you know, just looking at the annual cost and revenues, that just doesn't pencil out with what's in here, right? I see like a $488,000 annual shortfall with the projected, you know, optimistic revenues. I also know that this is just the first look at it, right? I've had probably an hour or two to look at this. I don't know how much time you spent on it. I kind of feel it's premature to make, you know, any kind of binding recommendation on this, given the little amount of time we've had to see it. And any type of recommendation I think we would make would be, you know, let's keep sharpening our pencil and see what we do. Because as Doug mentioned, you know, the Salem AAC has twice indicated their support for this program. I spent some time and listened to the City Council meeting from April when this was discussed. I think the general sense of the councilors was that this was something that we wanted to kind of run out and see where it went. There's a lot of community involvement. Brent certainly has done a bunch of work there. I also understand that you spent a lot of time and your staff has spent a lot of time working on this as well. I feel like maybe the key would be to figure out, you know, what is the funding mechanism here for this? The infrastructure costs are big, but maybe there's a way to deal with that, you know, creatively. But on an ongoing basis, if it's a net negative revenue stream, then we need to figure that out. And it seems like we probably need to look more at those funding sources. I know Brent had indicated, some additional $850,000 in base operations that doesn't seem to be accounted for in your report. So I guess could we get more color on what work has been done on the revenue side?
Yeah, if I can chime in just to answer that question. So the $850,000 that he references is not operations and maintenance funds. That is an increase in capital improvement funds that we would be eligible for if we reach a certain threshold of passenger employments every year. So if you reach 10,000 employments, you become a primary airport, and our annual entitlement goes up from 150,000 to 1 million. We can't use that for staff, we can't use that for maintenance or any of that. It's got to be towards approved capital improvement projects. So that would, that money would be minimum 2 or 3 years away before it's even available, and then it has to be on projects that are approved in the capital improvement program. If I might, my report is pretty lengthy. It mirrors pretty closely the report that's going to go to City Council, because what we're trying to paint for them is the picture of the rest of the story. What are the upfront costs that the City of Salem is going to have to absorb to accommodate infrastructure improvements, staff hiring, equipment, all of the regulatory requirements that we're going to have before an airplane shows up at the gate. So to paint that picture for City Council and then have them direct staff what to do next, if anything, is really kind of, maybe the simplest summary, the crux of the discussion that we're asking for. It's a policy discussion. Do you want us to go forward, spend more money trying to sharpen our pencil and get these costs, the costs up in there? And I indicated in my report the rough order of magnitude. They're not, it's not design level stuff. It doesn't get down into details of, you know, carpet types or flooring or any of that. Right. It's price per square foot based on the number of square feet that either need to be renovated or expanded. So do we expend more funds and more time and effort trying to get further down the road? Or does City Council think that the gap is too big to fill and we should pause efforts now? And that's really what the crux of the discussion is. So hopefully that helps clarify a little bit really what we're talking about here.
Neil.
John, the idea of two different plane sizes, the 90 or 88 aircraft versus your 737, where we're talking 189, is it feasible to start small and build up to the larger aircraft? Or are we just going to be losing a lot of money by starting small as opposed to, you know, build to the ultimate of the 737-320 aircraft?
I think that's partially, yes. So I think the improvements, regardless of the size of aircraft, the improvements that we need to make in the terminal to accommodate TSA equipment, which is really where this whole discussion started, was with the TSA facilities folks to understand what space improvements we needed to make to accommodate their checkpoint and baggage screening equipment. And what happened, we originally thought that we would have a regional jet-sized air carrier here first. And so the initial discussion was, then what does that mean for terminal renovations? Get the TSA equipment in here and we can start moving forward and just grow from there. Since that time, a couple of the air carriers that the Air Service Development Committee has been speaking to have shown an interest in coming to Salem sooner than anticipated, and possibly in advance of the regional jet carrier that we thought might be interested, because they're being hampered by high fuel prices. And so then in that case, we would have to accommodate the larger aircraft, and certainly we would want to build to that standard. And then, of course, the regional jet size then fits under that umbrella. So we really kind of made a shift back in April from talking about a renovation of the current terminal to accommodate regional jets to a terminal expansion to accommodate a large air carrier aircraft. I'm not a contractor. I know Cavendish, you may be able to speak to, you know, the cost savings to do everything at one time when you're talking about design and everything, to then go back and do it a second time probably wouldn't make sense. But I think originally our thought was we'd start with a regional jet size, get some passenger flow through here, maybe be eligible for some additional federal funding, show the demand for terminal improvements, and then have the opportunity to leverage that for federal funds. But we're going to have large air carriers in here first. We're going to need to be able to accommodate them before we even get to that point. So that's the gap, I think, that we're staring at now, if that helps.
And John, you, in your report, you said that you had TSA facilities and regulatory personnel on site. So they have actually physically seen the terminal.
Correct. Yeah, they made a site visit on April 27th. There were quite a few of them, and they were here with our architects and terminal planner consultants. And then they worked, those folks worked with the TSA facilities people both in Portland and at Washington DC level to understand what their space requirements were going to be for the size of equipment that they intend to put in Salem. So the checkpoint's grown significantly in size since the last time we had air service here, and that's going to have a major impact to the terminal. I understand I wasn't able to attach the report for you to read. It's still in draft form. I expect it'll be ready by next week, but I did pluck the numbers out of there. I don't think they're likely to change. Some of the details in the report will change just in the way we want to have it organized and all of that. But you'll have access to that when we have the final draft, or the final version, I should say.
So,
just a quick question. So, is it possible then to sort of, and maybe you already know the answer kind of off the top of your head, this rough order of magnitude, that the regulatory and TSA cost, is it comparable between the options, or is that something that, you know, we could run both ways to see the regional versus this larger capacity?
The equipment layout for the TSA is going to be the same regardless. That's going to happen regardless of aircraft size. That doesn't change. So there's no smaller set of equipment for regional jets, and then they upsize for larger planes. They put in their equipment for what they expect to be the largest aircraft to serve Salem.
Okay.
So John, it sounds like no matter what, we're going to have to upgrade the terminal for either size carrier.
No matter what. Yes, and we knew that all along. We've talked to air carriers. We've talked to the Air Service Development Committee. We've talked to everyone in the city. We've talked to City Council. We knew that. You know, it's been 15 years now since we've had air service. We knew that the terminal would require some modifications to accommodate baggage screening equipment and TSA checkpoint equipment, because it's changed quite a bit now. You know, you didn't used to have to take off your shoes, pull your laptop out, and have benches to get dressed at the end and all those sorts of things. And now they have much larger body scanners and things that we didn't have back in 2008. So, and conveyor systems for the luggage to get through the screening equipment on the baggage side and so on. So we knew there would be some modification. What we didn't know was what that would mean, how expensive that would be, and that's why we had to get with the TSA facilities folks to get the CAD drawings and get their layout approved so that then we could get an order of magnitude on what that renovation costs. Originally, we were just assuming renovation in the existing footprint because we've always assumed regional jet service would return here. Something in the order of Embraers and Canada regional jets. In the last year, really because of COVID, these ultra low cost carriers are now looking at Salem as an option versus PDX and Eugene because it's inexpensive to fly in and out of Salem, but they're flying larger aircraft with many, many more passengers. And we have to be able to accommodate them in our terminal. So when you have deplaning passengers and inplaning passengers, everybody in the terminal crossing paths at the same time, you've got occupancy issues and restroom code issues and all the other things that come with having a small terminal. So it's the equivalent of having three regional jets on the ground at one time, which we never anticipated we would need. So that's something that's just come to light really in the last 6 or 8 months. And it's really kind of pushed us down this road and created this gap in funding that we don't have yet identified a way to solve. So we're taking this information that we now have to City Council to say, here's where we are today, here's the information we have, and, you know, what's your policy decision? What are you going to direct staff to do next? And it doesn't have to be any one of the three things that I suggested. It can be anything that the Commission wants to suggest to City Council. This is your meeting. It's your policy agenda decision that you want to suggest to City Council. I can take any information to them that you'd like.
John, may I ask a question? At one of the SOG meetings, it was mentioned, this discussion came up, not in this detail, obviously, but it came up, and it was mentioned that there were alternative funding sources. Are you familiar with any? Somebody specifically mentioned there were four alternate potential funding sources for all of this. So I'm not familiar enough with it. I just didn't know if it crossed your desk yet.
I don't know what those would be or who, you know, with that. And I apologize, I wasn't able to attend those meetings, but I didn't get any feedback on that.
Okay. Yep. It's not fair to bring it up then, because it was, I don't know enough about it to present it.
Brent mentioned it in his letter to the commission.
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He didn't give any details about what they were. He just said there are at least four strategies. So, I mean, to me, that I kind of like to see more where that comes from. Like, what are all the options to pay for this?
Well, maybe that's where I heard it then. Yeah, because one of them was, I don't know without talking to him. But I imagine that's where it came up. Okay.
And I saw that you had your hand up. Neil just went over it.
I noticed an absence of community impact in the report. I would like to bring up two concerns from that perspective. One will be the effect of increased noise and vibration on the neighborhoods and where the runway is. It is a historic neighborhood. It could be structural problems. If vibrations get serious, then people's health could be affected if the noise increases seriously. So those are definitely things that I feel should be looked into. And then secondly, the effects of increased passenger traffic, increased tourism in the city could put a burden on city infrastructure. It will lead to the city having to implement alleviations, which will come at a cost by itself. So now we're talking about involving several other city departments to make decisions about potential impact here. And I bring this up to point out that the email from Fly Salem seems to promote to move forward as fast as possible. And I would caution against keeping due diligence on this and moving forward in a scientific way, so we're sure that decisions are based on actual numbers.
Smart man.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Madam Chair, if I may, I can speak a little bit to the environmental side. So the way that works with air service, commercial air service, is that when an airline notifies the FAA of its intent to serve a new market, if that market either has not had air service for some period of time, and I don't know what the time period is, but certainly 15 years is a long time, or if it's a returning service with larger aircraft than what would serve the community before, the FAA undertakes environmental assessments. And that's the standard federal NEPA environmental assessment. So they would address pollution and noise and social impacts and all of those things. So that could be, and I didn't address this because it's not city, it's not a city program or a city, it's something the city has to do, but it could possibly be, environmental assessments can take a year. So it could be that an air carrier could tell the FAA we're ready to serve Salem on X date, and the FAA can say, well, that's going to require an environmental assessment, and then they would go through that entire, and it is a public process, so everybody in the city has an opportunity to participate, provide comments. So if it gets to that point, there's likely to be an environmental assessment that the FAA will undertake.
And I'd like to comment on the timing aspect, like you said. The public comment that we got was very, very rushed, very pushing towards, we saying that there's an airline that wants to come in quarter four of this year. Just from a contractor standpoint, if we need to upgrade the facilities, I don't see that actually happening by quarter four. I mean, we're in July. So just, keeping that in mind that, we can, there's a lot of hoops to jump through if we do, if we do move forward.
If I may also offer another comment, I'd like to echo a bit about what Arnaud said, that I'm also more inclined for a measured approach. I think your point is well taken about the contractors, as well as I think looking through some of the scenarios involve also hiring, and for anybody that's in that world, hiring is a weird thing right now. So, I can be guaranteed we would get qualified personnel in a timely fashion, and certainly contractors as well.
Absolutely. The other thing that you brought up in your report, John, was that, or I can't remember if it was in your report, if we'd spoken about it, but the fact that the airlines really don't have any skin in the game because they are getting the extra time and money from the city and from the Fly Salem. There's if we do all of these improvements, is there anything holding the airlines here, keeping them, you know, accountable and keeping them in contract, all of that, or will they just stay for the 2 years or however long it is that they're supposed to be here, and then we're stuck with a basically $10 million building that's empty?
Well, I certainly can't speak to, you know, airlines plans or growth plans or success rate. I mean, presumably they would come here because they think they can make money and they would want to sustain themselves here and grow. The airlines that we've talked to are interested in having Salem be kind of a home base in the Pacific Northwest for them. But at the end of the day, there's no guarantee for any of that. There's no contract to stay for any period of time. They have some revenue guarantees, presumably that would help them grow and succeed, and that's the purpose of the revenue guarantees, is to help them establish themselves and grow their passenger base. Certainly, they put money into marketing and things like that, so it's not that they have no expense to move an aircraft in here, but you're right. There's no commitment, I suppose, is the way to say it. Things we can't control, like economic conditions, fuel prices, and pandemics, and those sorts of things are what they are. The airlines don't control those. We don't control those. But they do have impacts to aviation, as we've seen the last couple of years. So I've had this question a couple of times because the terminal has actually been expanded since Delta left in 2008. We did the terminal expansion on the north end in 2010, so 2 years after Delta left. That added 4,500 square feet to the terminal. It added six free ticket counters, so six positions, and a departure lounge, and a bag screening room, or it was the bag makeup room. It's empty because it doesn't have equipment in it yet. But that expansion happened in 2010, and it sat empty for 12 years. And so I know there are folks that have asked me the same question. If we do a terminal renovation or terminal expansion, what guarantee do we have that it won't sit empty for another 12 years? I can't answer that. I don't know. I've seen the statistics that the Air Service Development Committee's consultant has put out there. The numbers look good. It looks like it's sustainable. Salem's growing. A lot of folks drive from Corvallis and other places in the valley up to Portland that would potentially use Salem, and a very small fraction of them would have to use Salem for Air Service to be successful here. But at the end of the day, you're right, there's no guarantees, there's no commitment, there's no investment, at least in infrastructure on the part of the airlines. They have 2 years of fee waivers, so they really don't pay into the towards the operations and maintenance costs for staffing and all the other costs. Now, my report doesn't include all the miscellaneous costs that you have with people coming through your terminal. We're not down to that level of detail yet. We wanted to get the big expensive highlights, so City Council can understand the magnitude of what we're talking about before the first air carrier shows up here. But yeah, that's a long way of answering your question.
All right. Any other discussion before we? Oh, Arnaud?
I have a question for John on the same topic. Is it possible to go to these air flag companies and negotiate a contract that gives us certain rights?
Contract with an air carrier?
Yeah, I'm thinking, for example, the airplanes need to be a certain modern standards. So they dump an old, very loud, very polluting airplane on our...
That's a tricky question. Typically, we can't determine what aircraft, I mean, we can't be exclusive on types of any aircraft that serve the airport, whether it's privately owned or business jets or anything. We have to be open and operational to anybody that wants to use the airport. The city can't make its own restrictions on noise, number of hours, types of aircraft, or anything like that. That would be a violation of FAA rules and regulations. So if that answers your question, I thought you were thinking maybe of a contract for services, i.e. they would agree to stay for so many years if we invested so much money or something like that. There's no reason why not. I mean, some airlines, if they are committed to communities, will invest in that airport. I mean, Southwest Airlines did it in Islip Long Island many, many years ago. They built their own terminal and they grew that airport. So it's not unusual. Well, it doesn't happen all the time. I don't know that it's ever happened with low-cost carriers. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know that they typically invest in airports unless they're planning on building a hub there, maybe. But certainly it's something the city council would say, look, you know, we would invest X if we had some guarantee that service would be here for some period of time. I, I don't know how that would go. I don't know how that would be received by the airlines, but certainly something that council could consider.
Thank you.
I've got a question for John. I guess one of the items that Brent listed in his proposed motion one of the items was move forward immediately with purchase of ground service equipment for which we have the funds. I know that Representative Green, Moore Green, was able to kind of bring home some money for us for that. Would that type of purchase be dual use? I mean, if we were to go forward with that type of stuff, and I don't know what your plans are, but we have the money. If we did that, would that be something we could continue to use even in the event that the air service didn't?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Yeah, the equipment's kind of a standalone type of item because we do have the funding for that. And it is, for the most part, it could be equipment that could be used for other purposes if we had charter activity or other like VIP visits where we need some of that equipment. And we can charge for that use. And so certainly I think there's a reason to move forward with the procurement process on that. We just received the funds and moved like 2 weeks ago, even though the bill was signed back in April. So the city procurement department is kind of going through. They're a little bit squishy on how to expend these funds because there was no grant agreement that came with it, no paperwork, no anything. It was just a wire transfer from the state to the city. And the city's never dealt with this before. So they're just kind of, you know, taking a little bit of caution before we go out and do the procurement process. Brent's crew down at Salem Air Center did give me a folder full of information that they collected, quotes and estimates and bids on various types of pieces of equipment. So I've kind of got all of that collated into something usable that the procurement department can use. So that's a process that we'll probably move forward with sooner than later. But there's also a timing aspect there too. I mean, if it's a 6 month lead time and the equipment shows up in December or January and sits out in the weather for 3 or 4 months, I don't know if that makes too much sense or if it makes sense just to, you know, start the procurement process and then ask for delivery in the spring when it's outside in the warm weather. But yes, to answer your question, it is for the most part equipment that can be used elsewhere, but I don't know how often. But either way, we've got the funds for it, so it's not an expense to the city. It's only an ongoing maintenance expense. But there's also, again, a cost per use if we do need to use this.
So, should we move to vote on one of these items, or how? John, how do we do this part? There's a lot of different items here, a lot of different options. Arnaud?
Yes, can the different options be summarized, maybe also in expected cost? It's going to be a certain cost if the city goes forward in doing all the analysis.
Absolutely.
And then decides not to implement it.
Absolutely. So yeah, if we've gone with John's, so I'm going to look at your three options that you sent over because those are good options. So suspend further efforts at this time, maintain the current commercial service status. Stop the project entirely, revert to GA airport only status, or proceed to a detailed project planning and analysis and deliver a report in Q1 of 2023. Additional study costs to be determined. The report would include more precise estimates for capital improvements, potential funding strategy, and project implementation plan. So the additional study costs on that, because that is more of the slow play way that we've kind of discussing. Do you have a ballpark estimate or any kind of ideas on that? Or
unfortunately, I don't. I've reached back out to the consultants to ask if we drill down into a design level study to try and tighten up these sort of rough order of magnitude costs, what those additional studies will cost. They'll be significant. I don't have an answer from them yet. Hoping I'll have an answer by the time we reach City Council next week, but I would estimate we'll be well into the six figures. And it's not anything that's going to be done in 30 days or 60 days. It would take, I would guess, at least 6 months to do that level of detailed study. Sometimes airports will spend the money in advance to design a project, whether it's a pavement project or a building project, and have that design done and on the shelf for future use so that it's there. and maybe there's minor tweaks and things down the road. So I wouldn't be averse to at least moving down that road, depending on the cost, because it's a cost that we're going to have to absorb because it's not grant eligible at this point. So again, with everything else, if there's a funding source to assist with that, because it's going to be an expensive move, I'd be all for that. If we're going to pull out of airport contingency funds to fund the design of a building that may or may not ever go, then that may be money that we'll just never see back, and it'll be a design that sits on the shelf. So there's a little bit of a play there too, I guess. Cost consideration for sure, and I just don't have that cost yet.
Do we have to really focus? I mean, ultimately we have to do the design. You can't get out of that, right? And if you're going to have something for real, you got to figure it out. But it seems like the thing that I keep coming back to is the revenue part. Like, I think we need to really, you know, if there's more options that have been identified by Brent and his group, or if there are other things we could do to understand how we could make this, you know, a revenue neutral at least, or if not a positive, it seems like that ought to be the focus of the near-term efforts, because that's kind of to me, that's the go-no-go thing, is if we can make it properly.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either, and the tricky part is that the biggest cost there with the revenue expense side is going to be the staffing costs. I mean, to double my staff is going to cost, I think I put $500,000 or so in there. And that doesn't include police and fire. That's their costs. They may balk at that too. I don't know. But those are costs that we have to absorb in advance of an air carrier showing up here. So we have to recruit and train people and start paying them well before we receive any revenue. The revenue estimates I put in there are probably pretty conservative. I went on a build-out of air service that is a huge guess by the Air Service Development Consultant, who specifically said, don't hold me to these, they're liable to change massively, but we had to start somewhere. We had to assume 2 flights a week, moves to 4 flights a week, moves to whatever in years 2, 3, 4, and 5. He times those by rates and fees that we would collect, and we put some numbers in there. So again, rough order of magnitude, probably I tend to budget conservatively. I would rather assume less revenue, but the revenue neutral aspect wouldn't get there until year X. 3, 4, 5. I mean, because if I have $500,000 staff cost and I don't get to $500,000 till year 3, 4, 5, I'm in the hole X amount of dollars for those first couple of years, and there's no backstop.
Right. Well, the numbers you gave were even worse than that, right? Because for the fire and police, that was another $300,000-some.
So now typically, and this is not the case at all airports, we have been fortunate in the past, and I can't guarantee this in the future, but the city has not charged the airport for those services. They've absorbed those into their own budgets. I don't know that that would be the case going forward. They may choose to build an airport for those extra positions. I can't answer that, in which case it would be a direct cost to us, and I would obviously make the dollar figure more untenable. The tricky part is, even without that, even just assuming only airport staff, the city has made it clear that there's no general fund money available. So there is no backstop. If we go into our contingency funding and roll the dice on hiring staff, hoping that an airline shows up in a year or two after we find a way to build out the terminal, I'm a couple of years into staff costs and we're out of contingency and we haven't generated any revenue. So there's certainly a timing aspect here that has to be considered. We have to have all of this done and ready to go, security plan approved by the TSA, staff in place. All of you all that operate on the airport have to be background checked and badged. Everything has to be done before an airline shows up here. So there's no revenue for some period of time, and that's a very expensive proposition. And so part of the reason we went through this exercise and we put these numbers on paper, given they are absolutely rough orders of magnitude, both on the revenue and expense side, we wanted to be able to paint the picture that there's a heavy lift here. There's not a funding source or funding sources identified. There's some potential strategy that people are talking about, loans and bonds and things, but you have to have something behind those. There has to be some, and the city has said it's not us. So, mm-hmm. So we're sort of stuck in as to where to go next. So we want to talk to city council, explain these same things, and then have them direct us which way we go.
One thing that kind of concerns me, John, is that we're going to be spending, potentially millions of dollars to make all these capital improvements, personnel improvements, and there's nothing to say that the airlines is going to come in.
Right, that's back to Kat's point that she made earlier. There's no guarantee that they, Yeah, presumably if they're interested today, they'll be interested in 6 months, they'll be interested in a year, but we know that things change, things that we can't control. So at the end of the day, you're right, there is no guarantee. I mean, the terminal expansion we did in 2010 was based on the assumption that as soon as we came out of the recession, Delta would return immediately with their regional service, and they have not come back. United Airlines is pulling out of small markets across the U.S. right now. There's a lot of angst in aviation right now, but some of the low-cost carriers are doing pretty well. They're taking advantage of that because they're more nimble. They're not as affected by massive infrastructure and investments in airports and things like that. So they're nimble to get into airports, but they're also nimble to get out of airports, and they pride themselves on that. The downside is that that nimbleness doesn't work in our favor. We can't walk away from that. We'll have invested X amount of dollars, and there we are. And that, I think, is the risk that we want the city council to understand, that there's going to be a risk there, whoever's money we decide to spend, that it's going to be spent, and there's no guarantee that it's going to come back. Now, the flip side of that, and I want to be as positive and optimistic as I can, as I know Brent and the Air Service Development Committee is, at the end of the rainbow, if you get there, there's a tremendous pot of gold. I have colleagues in the state of Oregon that manage airports, commercial service airports, that are doing very, very well financially. They have wonderful facilities. They have robust staff. They have nice vehicles to drive around in, things that I would love to have as an airport manager. But that's at the end of the rainbow that's further down the road. And there has to be some level of confidence on behalf of the city, not the airport manager, but the city council, to make that journey.
Absolutely. Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of circle back a bit, and I wonder if it's possible to not combine some of this. So if I heard correctly earlier, the service equipment, I think it was item number 2 on the email, that money has already been, I'm looking back at my notes here, that money has already been allocated, and City Council isn't 100% sure how to deal with it, what to do. Is that something that we could have kind of, you know, separate that out from all of this and say, first and foremost, the advisory commission recommends you do XYZ with respect to that money and those purchases. I'm just thinking from an equipment standpoint, right now it can be a hit and miss buying equipment, and with inflation prices are going up, I mean, sitting around and trying to figure out what to do with that money may not be the best course of action for that money. If we could at least carve off, you know, a motion that's just around that, I think that might be beneficial to make sure that little piece of all of this puzzle doesn't get lost in the shuffle or fall by the wayside because we're caught up in the bigger conversation.
Absolutely. And John, is that something that we do need to give a recommendation on for City Council, or is that something that's already been taken care of?
You certainly can include it in your recommendation. You could break it out as a separate line item if you wanted to. I guess at the end of the day, all we really need from City Council at this point, because we have the money, is just the budget authority, and we haven't gotten to that step yet, so that doesn't really take any Airport Advisory Commission action. We just wanted to include it in the bigger picture for the City Council to understand that we're investing in a lot of equipment here. Even though we have funding for a piece of it, we're going to invest in some equipment that may or may not get used, may or may not be used the way we think it's going to be used. And so while the money's there, the money could be spent. Once it's spent, it's spent. And if there's any need for it to be spent anywhere else, you know, something that could be considered. But, I'm not as worried about that piece of it. So however the commission would like to handle that as a separate line item, sure. Doesn't matter to me, it's your motion.
Okay. Did you want to move to create a motion on that item, or?
I'm willing to do that, but I'm interested to hear the discussion. So I'll make a motion, sure, that we just, you know, the commission recommends or, you know, encourages moving forward with that equipment purchase as part of, you know, yeah, let's leave it at that, simplify it.
Is there a second on that?
I guess I could second provisionally. I think we'd only want to do that in the context of continued investigation of the air service. Like, it doesn't make sense to make a recommendation to spend that money if we're not also recommending that we at least continue the, like, it doesn't make sense to shelve it. Like, one option is to shut things down or slow things down. I think that goes along with a recommendation to continue to investigate commercial air service or continue to work forward with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
One item for that is, John Pascal, can that be, that those funds that you got, can that be used somewhere else if we do not use it for the equipment?
That was a tricky question. I think that it could, because ultimately the bill said for Salem Airport improvements. It didn't specify any specific. But having said that, when we made the request to Representative Moore Green, it came with a list of equipment that we anticipated we would need to buy. And it was the exact dollar amount that we expected that we would need. So I had a difficult time spending it elsewhere when the intent was to spend it on equipment, and at the end of the day we would still then need to buy equipment. So however we move the dollars around, there's still dollars needed somewhere. And as a point of order, I guess if Commissioner Foley's update is going to be part of the motion, then Commissioner Morrow would need to modify his motion for the record so we have it on the record.
Yeah, and I think because it's a bigger picture item that kind of got us where we're here, I would probably reset. And let's have that be the driving topic, and then the purchase of the equipment be a subset of that.
Sounds good.
What? Well, withdraw the motion.
Withdraw.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to look at the difference between what John had and what Brent had.
Is it possible? I mean, we don't, there's a lot of detail in all of this. Is it possible that we just basically restate our original letter from 2 years ago? It says we support further investigation or whatever. I don't think we're ready to make any, I don't know. That may not be helpful or useful, but to me, it sounds like we're not ready to really come down hard either direction. And I do think we all support the idea of further investigation or continuing the project anyway.
The proposed benefits seem great, and it solely lacks your factual information currently to say no. Even knowing that there's risks involved.
Madam Chair, I may too just suggest that there's no absolute requirement for the commission to take a position either way. And certainly you could not make a motion, it could fail for lack of a second, you could choose to ultimately I just won't put anything in my staff report, or I can say that the Airport Advisory Commission has taken no position on this. Punt it to the city council without your input. So I kind of wanted to just throw that out there too.
Appreciate that.
Is there a motion on the floor at the moment?
There is not.
Let me try one.
Okay.
All right. I move that the AAC reaffirm its support of commercial air service. Period.
Is there a second? Second. Okay. Roll call vote now. Is that what we would do, John? John?
I think you typically do discussion after. Okay. It's only discussion after the actual motion.
Okay. For me, just having a blanket statement that we are still supporting that, I think is a little too vague for me, but everyone else has their own opinions. Is there any other discussion?
I mean, can we include the three items that John identified? I might change the order of them. I would put the funding strategy first. To me, that's the key thing, but to look at that.
I think we need to land on one of them.
Yeah.
I'm with Kat on this. With the added idea that it's provisional to more information. It's just not enough information to actually make a firm decision on.
have a question on this for John. So one of the items is for staff to work on finding potential funding strategies to bridge the gap. I'm assuming that I interpreted that to mean your staff, John, or is this referring to city staff, city council?
It would be city staff, so presumably it would be myself and probably the finance department, the city of Salem, or some city staff, you know, to investigate potential funding sources, grant programs, so on.
I would presume that's already something you guys do pretty regularly. Is there more you know?
Well, we're aware of some. I'm aware of some. I'm aware of, for the most part, I'm familiar with the aviation-related grant programs. There could be others through the state of Oregon. Connect Oregon is a program that exists that has some aviation in it. Business Oregon has some economic development funding. There's bonding opportunities that I'm not that familiar with. I mean, some airports will go out and do bonds, typically backed by something. To provide capital improvements for future revenue generating loans. I think there's a lot of resources that we could consider, and that, yes, that would be city staff.
Okay. I think I tend to agree that it's fairly vague. It'd be nice if we were a little more teeth in what we're saying, but I also think that it would be good to see the draft report, or when it's out of draft, before we get too prescriptive. And so I don't know if that's feasible, that we would see that, where basically where you got some of these high-level numbers, if we would see the more detailed report in time, that we could do something, presumably via email, in time, but provide any meaningful outputs for next week's meeting. That seems unlikely, but I guess I would like to get a sense of when we could see the more details, because that, I think that would be beneficial if we're going to be doing anything more than making a very high-level, fluffy recommendation or affirmation.
Okay. So should we vote on Doug's motion, or should we revise? I guess we'll start with the vote on Doug's motion.
You have a motion on the floor, Madam Chair, so you'd need a second, and then, or did you get a second?
I don't. We have a second, yes.
Did you get a second? Okay, and you had a discussion, so you certainly could vote.
Can you reiterate the motion, please?
Doug's motion was to blanket statement say, reaffirm that we are in favor of air service. So I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call vote on that. Doug Brennheiser.
I'm in favor.
Mike Morrow.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that statement.
Arnav Gusta.
Don't say no.
John Colley.
I'm gonna say no, but I'd like to amend it. I'm just working on an amendment.
Okay, Neil White.
I'd like to say no and listen to John's amendment.
And Kat Pence, I'm gonna say no and listen to John's amendment as well. John, you're on the spot.
Okay, let me just, I'm typing it up here. I'm trying to, basically the overall idea would be we can reaffirm our support for commercial air service in Salem and then recommend that city staff continue to investigate potential sources of funding and expected expenses with the hopes of providing a solution that works for the long-term benefit of the city. That's kind of the proposal. and maybe I can put exact words on it in writing if that sounds okay to folks.
That sounds good.
I like the
idea. Any thoughts on the ground equipment?
We could, I mean, I think we could I think with along with that, we could recommend that those funds be used for to purchase the ground equipment. It sounds like John's going to do that anyway.
Sounds good.
Yeah, be two parts.
Madam Chair, if I may, while John's still working on his motion, in the past, it has happened that the Advisory Commission on rather complex subjects, and we need this in a rather short order, but could put together an actual letter signed by the Chair that actually identifies kind of the bits and pieces. Sometimes it's difficult to do in a motion. You can certainly do the motion, the second, and the vote here, and then if you wanted to sort of collect your thoughts in letter form, I can attach that to my staff report to Council.
Okay.
If that helps, just a suggestion.
Absolutely. So we would have a motion to write a letter to City Council with the thoughts, with approval through the, through our...
You have to vote on the motion, and if you're going to do a letter, that's a secondary.
Okay. Right. The letter would just be the documentation of what your, perfect. You know, what your motion said. So that way it might be easier for me to have that in your words signed by the Chair versus me trying to translate that into my staff report as a couple of lines and hope I get it correct. Just a thought there.
Okay.
We'll give you a couple of days. I would probably need that by next Tuesday or Wednesday. The latest the meeting's Thursday night, so maybe Monday or Tuesday. Again, just so I can upload it into the city's staff report system.
Absolutely.
So is there any interest in seeing what I just wrote, or do we just want me to deal with this after?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can share a screen here.
Let's do.
Share screen. I wonder if I can do this one. Share. Can folks see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Screenshot.
All right. So the motion I wrote is I move that the AAC make a statement to Salem City Council reaffirming its support for commercial air service in Salem, and recommend that city staff continue to investigate the cost and expenses associated with this effort. Additionally, the AAC recommends that the city move forward with the purchase of ground service equipment that have already been funded by the state of Oregon.
Sounds good.
Second.
Any discussion?
There's no mention there about kind of bridging the gap. Is that just implied there, you think, or do you want to have that language in there?
Bridging the gap with the funds?
Yeah. It's a simplified version, which I actually like, but just acknowledging that there was quite a bit more in Lawrence DeHart's letter. And do we want to incorporate any of that or just go with this higher level?
Oh, yeah. And basically saying, you know, investigating the costs and expenses associated with this effort and considering additional revenue sources. I don't know how we want to say that.
Oh, it's already there.
Yeah, I would leave it simple as that.
Okay.
How about positive or negative impacts on the city as a whole or on the region as a whole?
I think that has a FAA over. I think that's not city, isn't it?
No, it's
well,
for the
FAA. Well, the city will have to carry a lot of costs if anything goes wrong.
Sure. And I think the goal of this is not to say anything, but let's keep pulling on the thread.
All right.
That's really what we want to do. And keep pulling on the thread and use the money that we've got already.
John Pascal, is there any way for us to get any more, for you to dig deeper without the six-figure reports? Or is it going to cost you hundreds of thousands either way?
I don't know the answer. I guess it depends on which portion of the kind of broader notion that you have there. I mean, move forward, investigate the costs and expenses associated with this effort. I mean, certainly, down without spending a lot of money and do a better job maybe of figuring out sort of city costs, revenues, and expenses.
Yeah, maybe I wrote that incorrectly. I actually wanted to specifically include and specifically include, you know, identifying ways to fund to cover the costs. Right? Yeah. That's the part I really want to, I'm really interested in seeing.
That's the bridging the gap
stuff. Yeah, that's exactly, Mike, I catch what you're saying there.
Yeah, they're looking for funding, funding sources, maybe?
Yeah, and identify funding sources to bridge, to cover those costs. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, do we have so this was a motion, we had a second, I believe. Do we need to amend that motion?
I guess technically I did amend my motion, but I don't know if, do we need to vote on the amendment, or do we just need to accept the amendment? Help me out on the Robert's rules here.
I think you're probably okay, John, just given that everybody's looking at your screen, and if you want to restate it, or just ask if everybody's, you know, if you have a second for this amended written motion. Right.
Do I have a second for the
I would second it.
All right. Good.
All right. Any more discussion on this? All right, let's go ahead and vote. John Foley?
I vote in favor.
Doug Bernheiser?
In favor.
Neil White?
In favor.
Arnaud?
Favor.
Mike Morrow?
In favor.
Kat Pence? In favor. Okay.
So maybe then, John, if you would just
I'll send that to you.
Verbatim in my staff report with the AAC's recommendation, word for word.
All right.
That'd be great. Very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it looks like we came to a little bit of a conclusion here. Was there anything under items for commission discussion? Anybody want to talk about anything? Are we all good to go?
I think we're talked out.
Okay, I think this meeting's adjourned.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Kat, you did a great job on a very